Welcome into A to Z Sports Prime Time from the Zen Sports Studios. I'm your host, Buck Rising. If you're new to the program, and I am proud, as always, to be presented to you by Zen Sports. Download the app, plug in the promo code ATOZTN, get no danger first wagers and same game parlays, all available to you in Zen Sports. Two Rivers Ford, the South's most trusted Ford dealership, Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet, or online at tworiversford.com. And TrueMav Fitness, the best way to work out for a new version of you. The best version of you can be found at TrueMavFitness.com, where your first workout is free as a Middle Tennessee resident. So we have draft prospects making their visits. We've got a variety of different players across a number of different positions, some that are 30 visits, some that have been virtual, some who they've met with privately at their pro day, and some who have satisfied a variety of different categories. So A to Z Sports has done a good job tracking this. In particular, Sam has done a good job tracking this. 30 visits right now. The Titans have completed 30 visits with Chris Abrams-Drain, the Missouri corner, Jarvis Brownlee, the corner out of Louisville, McKinley Jackson, Texas A&M defensive lineman, of course, Joe Alt, the left tackle from Notre Dame, couple of running back prospects in Marshawn Lloyd, Rasheen Ali, and Blake Corum from Michigan, who I was surprised to see on that list, though that's not the only Michigan prospect that they've completed a 30 visit with. Local product, Junior Colson, inside linebacker, definitely a need, and Roman Wilson, the wide receiver, have all completed 30 visits with the Titans. Now, they are scheduled to have a 30 visit with Malik Nabers tomorrow and J.C. Latham, the Alabama left tackle. They have had private pro day meetings with Malik Nabers and Isaiah Johnson, the defensive back from Syracuse. They've had a variety of different formal interviews at the combine with a lot of tackles, a lot of offensive linemen, and a lot of wide receivers. And we know that they have met at least with one edge player in a virtual meeting, Darius Robinson, the edge player from Missouri. So looking at all these players on this list. Now, Bo Nix has also visited with the Titans. He is on that list as well. Of course, quarterback is not something that we're talking about this draft cycle, but you never know where Bo Nix could be sitting. And again, I mean, would it surprise me? Yes. It would absolutely surprise me to see them take a quarterback if Bo Nix is, I mean, I can't imagine Bo Nix would be a day three pick, but if they were to somehow get back into the third round and take Bo Nix, I think we would all be shocked. I would imagine Bo Nix would probably go before even the third round. So it does not make sense for the Titans to draft a quarterback, but you've got to be prepared for a number of different scenarios. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to find out more about Bo Nix or potentially about his other teammates that he played with at Oregon that are in the draft process. I don't know that they're going to be in the market for Jackson Powers Johnson, given that Lloyd Cushenberry is on the roster here as well. But there are a number of Oregon players, Troy Franklin, who they might be interested in finding out from Bo Nix. So it might be well worth a 30 visit for that. The question that I want to ask you guys is this: on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on Twitch this evening, your Two Rivers Ford take regarding these draft prospect visits. As you look at the draft right now and see the way, in fact, it's not in my email, so Bert might have to remind me exactly how we position this question for you guys. But as you look at the draft prospects and you look at the different players that they're visiting with, which names jump off the page to you? Derek says, if they take a quarterback in three straight drafts, the entire organization is incompetent. What is the most interesting meeting the Titans have had pre-draft thus far to you? Which one jumps off the page? So there's a number of them. Bo Nix might be one. That's not uninteresting to see Bo Nix's name on that list. And of course, we expect them to meet with guys like Joe Alt and Malik Nabers, who we would imagine would be seen somewhere around the number 7 overall pick, provided that they would stick and pick. Let's talk about it together. It's your Two Rivers Ford take. What's the most interesting meeting that the Titans are making in their 30 visits? Presented by Two Rivers Ford, the South's most trusted Ford dealer, is Two Rivers Ford. Quality American-made Ford vehicles and award-winning customer service. Two Rivers Ford is always there for you, no matter how you like to shop. Personally, I ordered my vehicle online. I custom ordered my Ford Explorer from Two Rivers Ford. They brought the exact vehicle and the exact specifications, the color that I wanted, with all the different all the different features that my Ford Explorer has customizable that I could pick from. I bought my Ford from Two Rivers Ford. I ordered it online and they delivered it to my door afterwards. And even if you want to go out to Mount Juliet to test drive a vehicle yourself, you can do that. They always put you in the driver's seat as the customer. Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com for more information. The South's most trusted Ford dealer. Vernon Sanford says Neighbors is the most interesting pre-draft visit. If he is there at 7, you got to pull the trigger. Blake Corum for real, says Chef Ran. Well, I just don't envision a scenario where they take a running back. Now, you know, roll the dice, play the board. If they get to a spot where running back or a number of running backs are their highest graded players on the draft board, would they do it? I would be surprised. Because think about their running back room right now. Tony Pollard, who they signed. They've got Tajay Spears in year two. They just extended Julius Chestnut, and they have Hassan Haskins on the roster, who, you know, maybe Chestnut or Haskins doesn't make it through training camp. Maybe you bring in some additional competition there. But those are three drafted players, one UDFA that's got something to him. He certainly plays hard. Great effort from Julius Chestnut anytime he's out on the field, and that's exactly what you want in a guy who's primarily going to be a special teamer for you. Doesn't necessarily seem like he's going to have return ability, but still, you need guys who are going to be out there and can consistently be relied upon to play teams, and Julius Chestnut is that. And when he gets the ball as a ball carrier, he looks okay from time to time. He certainly runs with great effort, as we've talked about. So, Corum, again, interesting, but not that impactful. Patrick says Bo Nix is the most interesting to me. Alt Neighbors is expected. He says expensive there, but then clarifies expected. Robinson, he won't be there past the second and throws a wrinkle into the wide receiver and tackle with the first two picks. Well, I mean, the only people who seem to have wide receiver and tackle blocked off for the first two picks are Titans fans who have been doing mock drafts. I think it's entirely possible that they trade back, that they go tackle and defensive player. I wouldn't expect them to take a corner or safety that high. I don't know if they're going to be able to maneuver a deal where they can get two later first-round draft picks for seventh overall, although feasibly, if you play around with the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, you would find that the value for the Titans' seventh overall pick makes a lot of sense for a team like Minnesota, who's got two first-round picks to deal, provided that you package them with something else, perhaps a day three selection to go along with it. But it's possible that they could find themselves with two first-round picks and that they would go tackle or defensive player with one of those two picks makes a ton of sense as well. Edge, their defense is pretty shoddy right now, and I know you guys know that. Snead makes a world of difference. It allows you to be so much more versatile with your defense. Opens up your playbook for sure, but they don't have anybody really to get after the quarterback besides Jeff and Harold. And I, like I said, Arden Key is a situational player. I think he makes a difference in moments, but not consistently enough. They need a starting edge player. They need a starting defensive lineman. And I know Sebastian Joseph Day is there as well, but he's not a pass rusher. Really, perhaps he can improve his level of play, bring himself up by nature of playing next to Jeff. But I would totally expect them. Inside linebacker, Junior Colson makes a ton of sense for the tie. Honestly, Junior Colson is the one for me that I think is the most interesting. But obviously, the most obvious ones are Joe Alt.
That's right, Joe Alt, the Notre Dame offensive tackle, does seem to be, no one's a lock at anything, but does seem to be as close to a lock as you could possibly be to be a top 10 pick. So what he is doing is meeting with the teams that are in the top 10. My understanding is he met with the Tennessee Titans on Wednesday, yesterday. He met with the New York Jets on Tuesday. The Titans are a really interesting one because there is a very real chance that he is there for him and they take him. I think it's obvious the Tennessee Titans have a need at left tackle. They released Andre Dillard, their big free agent signing from a year ago. They do not currently have a starter right in there now, so that seems to make a lot of sense. The Jets are more intriguing because they did sign Tyron Smith to be their left tackle this year. He's an older player. He's on a one-year contract. Future roster building, adding a franchise left tackle, even if he doesn't have to play left tackle for a year for the Jets, could be a really, really, really smart move there.
So that's Rap Sheet talking about Joe Alt's visit last week. Of course, he's one of the obvious ones. We're talking about the most interesting draft visits. A to Z Sports Primetime is presented by Zen Sports. Zen Sports is the place for you to get in on all the action for all your favorite major sports. They go above and beyond to put you in position to succeed. They offer true odds on all parlays and boosted same-game parlays for all Tennessee sports teams. That means boosted up to 20% over other books in Tennessee. So if you wanted to bet the Preds, who have tied it up at 2-2 right now with 2 minutes to play in the final period, you can make money on Zen Sports. And there's even more good news. Zen Sports offers a one-of-a-kind VIP rewards program that if you qualify, you'll earn monthly concerts, sporting events, concerts, you name it, even sportsbook bonuses. Zen Sports, where betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions do apply. No danger wager, limited to plus 500 odds to qualify. Boosted odds are derived from equivalent parlay bets offered in Tennessee. Must be 21 plus and in Tennessee to bet at Zen Sports. So, most interesting draft visit, I think it's Junior Colson. If there's a way for them to trade back and add an additional first-round pick, I think Junior Colson is a first-round pick. I don't think there's any way that he slides out of the first round. He is the most athletically gifted inside linebacker. He's the best in space. He's the best coverage. He's the best one with coverage ability. He is somebody who is going to be a leader of the defense. He's a local product, so that doesn't hurt. Or at least he played his high school football around here. He is from, I want to say, if I remember correctly, he's originally from Haiti. If my memory serves, Haitian-American football player. Yes, Junior Colson, he's got a phenomenal, phenomenally interesting background and how he ended up playing high school football Tennessee and going on to play at a high level and then obviously winning a championship with Michigan. Now moving on to the pros where he'll be a first-round pick. He is somebody who makes a lot of sense. Eric Alonzo says, I'm not sold on Alt. I mean, I don't know what there's really not much to not be sold on. Eric, I know double negative is grammatically improper, but I don't know. If you're not sold on Joe Alt, I don't know what you want out of a left tackle prospect. Like, that's really not that it's as good as you can do because there have been better tackle prospects before, but he's really, really sound in almost every area of his game. And the stuff that he's not 100% sound on, one would imagine that with even remotely competent coaching that he could get better with. So if you're somebody who expresses that opinion, I don't know. I don't know what else you could want out of a tackle prospect if Joe Alt is not somebody who you're sold or not sold on. It's not a matter of whether Joe Alt will be a good left tackle. It's just a matter of whether he makes the most sense for you at your fit and if you have him graded out better than some of the other prospects that are going to be on the board. It's entirely possible that the Titans draft board may look different than what almost consensus seems to be. So that's not an unfair opinion for you to have. But if I don't know that the analysis of Joe Alt, who is 100% going to be a top 10 pick, the idea that you're not sold on him. I don't know what there is about his game that you would give you the opinion to not be sold on a consensus top 10 prospect. And arguably the best prospect at his position in this particular draft, which is very strong with tackles. But, you know, that's just me. Anyway, so looking at the interest level, it's for sure Junior Colson. I would be surprised to see them go inside linebacker in the first round. Obviously, it would have to be a trade back situation. I still think that they would prioritize tackle or wide receiver before they would take an inside linebacker. But I don't know. You need something significant to patch up some pretty big holes in your defense at this point. We are going to ask you the question about which draft prospect do you feel has hurt themselves the most in the 2 months, let's say 4 months since the college football season officially ended, since a champion was crowned. Which prospect has hurt themselves the most in the last couple of months? We'll talk about it together on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. You guys can leave your answers there right after I remind you that the Primetime program is made possible by the Ashton Real Estate Group of RE/MAX Advantage. GaryAshton.com is where you go for your dream address without the stress. The Intel edge you need to succeed can be found at GaryAshton.com, the official real estate agent of the Nashville Predators, who are trying to bounce back from a loss last night. Preds on the road, tied up against Jersey, seeing if they can't close this out strong. It's crazy that the Preds only have, counting tonight, they only have, I mean, this is at the end of the third period, so they only have four games remaining after this one. Looking forward to some playoff hockey, but GaryAshton.com, don't sell without the intel. All right, who's hurt themselves the most in the process? Gabriel Pilcher says Marvin Harrison Jr. not partaking in anything certainly hasn't helped his draft stock. Well, I guess I can't disagree with you. He hasn't done anything to help himself. But I'm talking about somebody who has hurt their draft stock. Marvin Harrison isn't doing anything because he doesn't have to. He's the best. Well, let's phrase it this way. Because I do think that there are some teams who will look at Neighbors or Odunze and say, that is the player who we think has the potential to be the best wide receiver out of this group. But Marvin Harrison Jr., maybe he doesn't have the potential, although he does absolutely have the potential to be the best wide receiver out of this very talented draft class. He's the most ready pro prospect right now. You've never seen a player as confident about being taken first at their position group than Marvin Harrison Jr. because he's I don't want to say that he's a perfect prospect. There's no such thing. But he's as close, he's as damn close to it as you come, especially for a wide receiver. So, no, he hasn't done, I mean, he hasn't done anything, but he doesn't need to do anything, which is kind of the beauty of it for him. Maybe he hasn't helped himself inherently, but he hasn't hurt himself. And I think he's helped himself. Yeah, and honestly, you know, Gabriel, I'd dispute that because he's had plenty of meetings, and the meetings have gone fine. People aren't saying anything nasty about Marvin Harrison Jr., so I would actually disagree with your notion the more I think about it, because he's had virtual interviews, he's had in-person interviews, he's had combine interviews, he's met with people at the pro day. He just hasn't had to physically do any of the drills, which is fine. He has partaken in some of the stuff. It's just not the actual drills, which, you know, I understand that you have a numerical value assigned for, and that those are the things that are some that is part of the process to the evaluation, but also evaluating him is talking to him and getting to know him. And he's certainly been having conversations with all these teams and coaching staffs that have been coming through. All right. So as we look at this, there is a report out from Tony Pauline about Malik Nabers talking about red flags. Neighbors is faster, more explosive. I don't know, Bert, why Bert chose a picture of me to go with this Tony Pauline graphic, but it's a good picture of me, so I'm fine with it. He says, Tony Pauline, Neighbors is faster, more explosive, and much better after the catch than Harrison. He's not the game-controlling wideout the Ohio State product is. Rather, he's a game-breaker who can score from any point on the field. Like his quarterback, Jaden Daniels, Neighbors has shown great improvement in his game the past year and a half and projects as a legitimate number one wideout. He also comes from a program that has produced great NFL receivers year after year. But there are red flags. The LSU junior is known as a high-maintenance prospect who may struggle in a big city. There are off-the-field questions Neighbors has had to answer during the draft process, and teams must feel comfortable with those answers if they're going to invest an early draft pick and millions of dollars in his services. So that's super generic to me. The question is, what do you like least about the draft process? And this is what I like least about the draft process. I don't like there are certain red flags, but not getting any examples. It's possible, right? It's absolutely possible that Malik Nabers has something in his background, or he's had an off-the-field incident that hasn't been widely reported on. All of these things are possible for any of these prospects, right? From Caleb Williams on down to whomever Mr. Irrelevant might be. But I don't like, and I'll throw the report up again, just so you can get the words specifically from the person who's reporting it. So he says, but there are red flags. Known as a high-maintenance prospect, okay, well, what does high-maintenance mean? What is a specific example? Who may struggle in a big city based on what? I'm not sure. Again, I'm not disputing what Tony Pauline is reporting. I totally believe that somebody told him this. I struggle to put too much. I don't know. Too much. I struggle to give it too much credence when I don't have. It's like the Rand Carthon thing. Like, don't tell me that he has had job performance struggles in San Francisco, but then not give me any examples of said job performance struggles. So, or job performance issues, whatever the phrasing by Greg Bedard was at the time. So he says, but there are red flags, high maintenance prospect, may struggle in a big city, off the field questions neighbors have had to answer during the draft process, doesn't give examples of what questions he's had to answer, and teams must feel comfortable with those answers, doesn't give examples of what he's answering if they're going to invest on an early draft pick and millions of dollars in his services. So, like I said, it could be a completely fair thing that Tony Pauline is hearing from multiple sources, but I don't know. I don't have the amount of resources to vet these players the way that NFL franchises do. Of course, I don't have private investigators. I don't have former law enforcement people that I employ to go do background checks and things of that nature, and to go find more information, deep dive on information the way that the NFL teams will, but a lot of times they miss that kind of stuff too. So without examples, I don't know how much weight I want to give that, but you know, it's something that we hear all the time this time of year. Bork says, was that Buck holding a PSL or a vanilla latte in that photo? It's just plain black coffee. I'm a black coffee guy most days. Matt Stanley says it's the most douchey picture. That's because Matt can't pull off a turtleneck or a blazer that fly. So I apologize, Matt, for your bitterness about your inability to pull off said outfit. But yes, you may refer to that as douchey if you wish. Turtleneck and Top Gun shades. Those are a bit top. I don't love those sunglasses, but I have a couple of new pairs for this year, so I'm excited about it. But the turtleneck in Pittsburgh for a primetime game, I think that was Thursday Night Football. If you could get away with wearing something less warm than a turtleneck, then you're a braver person than I am. But I was warm. I was very comfortable, very cozy with my black coffee and my turtleneck, and watched the Titans lose a pretty ugly game to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday night. Yeah, that's what it was. Ben Hall says the tweed sports jacket is incredible. I like the tweed sports jacket very much. I will accept Christian Tomas's criticism, which is a little bit of private investigator vibes there. Yeah, but I don't know. Private investigators are kind of dingy people, right? You ever seen True Detective? And I know those guys are working, I can't remember if they're like major crimes or something like that. But like a lot of time PIs are wearing, you know, more comfortable clothes, not a turtleneck and a tweed sports coat. Anyway. We don't have to hone in too much on the fashion choices, though. I am excited. I do. you want to talk about things that are douchey? I do have a meeting about my upcoming football season outfits, coming up on April the 16th. As a matter of fact, I just put that in my calendar, a happy hour, mother's ruin to go plan out my football season outfits with the two ladies at Style Concierge that helped me put those together. Cause God knows I'm not capable of dressing myself that well. Either way, yes, Bert has his, it's not Liberace. Who is this, Bert? Come on camera and tell people who this is that you photoshopped. Yes, get on camera right now. Don't shake your head no at me, or I will put you in this camera shot myself. Damn it. Do it. You're going to make me do this? I don't know who this is. You're going to have to explain yourself.
It is Liberace. It's Liberace. Damn it.
Bert thinks he's so clever with his Photoshop abilities. It's funny because I did send Bert a picture that does resemble this very much. I was at a wedding in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago. The hotel I stayed at in Santa Monica was way over the top, and it did have a giant jacuzzi tub with a TV in it that I was watching March Madness games on in a jacuzzi tub filled with, I think it was basil lime bath salts. And I sent Bert a picture, and he told me that I needed to tweet out that picture to be made fun of so we could drag me on the radio show about it, and I never did. I was scared. Anyway. Sunday Funday, speaking of vibes that are high, what gave you the good vibes on this Sunday or from this sports weekend? Let me know in the comments on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. We will get into it together. Frank Moses, just get TD to help you out. The man, stay fresh. It is 100% so. No matter what, even if Tron, here's the thing, okay? Because I didn't always used to pay a stylist to help me with my football season outfits. But Tron has always been very, very helpful with helping me pick out jackets and stuff like that. TD is the only reason that I look like I have any semblance of style whatsoever. But the way that Tron is able to, in his mind's eye, coordinate different color shoes with pants and a jacket that you wouldn't think would make sense, but he makes it make perfect sense. It's something that I'm very envious of. I don't have that gift. I'm fortunate. I have a lot of gifts in my life. I have a lot of things that I'm good at. That is not one of them. That is something that I have to pay for. Anyway, what in sports gave you the good vibes this weekend? Not the picture of me in a bathtub, but something else. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. We'll talk about it together right after I remind you that the way to feel good physically is TrueMapFitness.com. They will give you your first workout free. As a Middle Tennessee resident, they'll go above and beyond with their group fitness classes, with their personal training. If you just want to sign up for a membership and work out at your own pace, they have an excellent facility too. TrueMapFitness.com is where you go for the best facility, the best workout, a new way to work out here in Middle Tennessee. TrueMapFitness.com for more information. I'll tell you what gave me the good vibes. South Carolina. South Carolina dominating in the national championship earlier today. They outlast Iowa and Caitlin Clark, which has been one of the biggest phenomenons, if not the biggest phenomenon this season in women's college basketball. But at the end of the day, greatness gets it done. And South Carolina, as a program, undefeated to close out their season, is absolutely exceptional, to their credit, to Dawn Staley's credit, to Camilla Cardosa's credit, all those girls and their coaching staff and their program, people who made that possible. Really, really cool to see today.
Come out of Philly. We don't see these tears from you often. Why tonight?
So that is Dawn Staley, very, very emotional after South Carolina went on to win, I believe, their third national title in program history. She's the best coach in women's college basketball in a sport that is jam-packed with quality coaches right now. Between Geno, what you have in UConn, I'm blanking on the UConn coaches name right now. No, I'm sorry. Geno Auriemma, obviously the coach of UConn, in Dawn Staley. Even Kim Mulkey, who I know people have strong opinions about Kim Mulkey, but she is a phenomenal basketball coach. The way that she got LSU eliminated by leaving that poor girl on Caitlin Clark the entire time and not switching her off was probably not the best coaching moment, but still really, really quality. Really quality programs in college basketball. I'd love to see the Lady Vols back in the mix. You know, maybe it's been a while since it's felt like the program that Pat Summitt had at the peak of its sport so many years ago. And it would be clearly Danny White. They have not made, there's not been a ton of noise, at least not a lot of rumor stuff that I've seen floating around the Lady Vols hiring. But I know Danny White has championship expectations for that program with UT, and you know, Kelly Harper did a solid job, but they're looking for better than solid, especially in a sport that's going to have as much star power as this one seems to, which is really, really cool. Made the hire today. Oh, really? They hired somebody today? I didn't see that. Who'd they hire? All right. Now I feel dumb. Okay. I'm going to look up who the Lady Vols hired. I'll probably have to talk about that on the radio show tomorrow morning from 10 to 1. on 104.5 The Zone. So apologies. I'm a little late on the news on that, but we'll catch you up with the latest. I'll get myself up to date, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow from 10 to 1. We'll recap the Preds. We'll get you ready for another week of the pre-draft process. Big visits for the Titans tomorrow. Malik Nabers and J.C. Latham, the left tackle from Alabama. So we'll keep you updated on that. Have a great rest of your evening, and I will see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on 104.5 The Zone. Where's the video that I want? There it is.
Go home! Go home! Go home! You're embarrassing Nashville! Go home!